Welcome to Careertools. This week, making the most of short-term projects. The questions this cast answers are, how should I make the most of a short-term project? What are the opportunities of short-term projects? And what are the risks in short-term projects?
Hey folks, it's Mark again with another little PSA here, public service announcement from Manager Tools. October 5th coming up shortly. We have a virtual effective remote manager conference. We take the Trinity one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation, break them down and talk specifically about the strengths and weaknesses, issues, and how to address dealing with people who work remotely, people in the office, hybrid situations, and so on. And we take a lot of questions during effective remote manager conferences because managers are wondering. They've never done it before. Or they've been doing it so long, they're wondering what coming back to the office is going to be like. So October 5th, Virtual Effective Remote Manager Conference. Come to the website and sign up.
Professionals often spend time on specific projects which take them away from their main job. So for a time, somebody will go and do something other than what's their actual job. It might be a product launch and they go over to that project team to work out the marketing for that product launch, or they might be asked to shore up a team where they're struggling and it needs some extra people of their skill set. It could be being sent to a different department or a location to help out or to learn something. So perhaps somebody needs some experience in a certain area and they're sent to a team where they can get that experience. These short-term project assignments, I often call them secondments because that's a really common word in the UK. But basically, it's any time you move from your job to another job just for a short term for a specific purpose. And they're a really good opportunity to add value, to learn new things, to develop new relationships and generally enhance your career. And in general, we would say take these opportunities. But there's also risk. And so in this guidance, we're going to talk about how to take advantage of the opportunity and avoid the risk. So what's our outline today, Andrew?
Our outline for today is, who is this for? And stay in touch. We're going to talk about staying in touch with your team and staying in touch with your boss. Build relationships fast and give and take everything you can from the experience.
So the guidance we're giving in this cast could be applied to any short-term project. But in this guidance, as I wrote it, we were thinking specifically of larger companies and the temporary transfer of an employee to work in a different team, either within the company or at another company. Sometimes people go to clients or to suppliers, which we'll talk about in a second. And they're called a variety of things, like temporary assignments, project assignments, secondments, short-term transfers, rotations. There's a whole bunch of things. And because there's so many options and so many names for them, we're going to talk about some specific examples so you can kind of fit it into your own experience. But in general, there are 6 to 12 month assignment of an employee to a different teams with some defined reasons or benefits. So that there's usually, it's not just, I'll go over here and help them out. There's usually some reason for sending you and some objective of sending the person.
Yeah. I mean, in my career, just a little bit, when I started my career, I was in retail. I worked for Target and then for 7-Eleven. And this took shape in the form usually of either opening a new store or going to help at a store that needed certain expertise. And that could have been for several of the reasons that we've already talked about. But some of the reasons that a company might do this or some examples of what this kind of looks like to help you spot them in the wild is to cover a short-term gap in a team. For example, when someone resigned or they're having trouble filling a role or even to cover maternity leave. And in terms of coverage, right? To give an employee exposure to a different type of customer, right? Someone on a team typically deals with personal customers, but goes to a team to work with corporate customers to get that experience. Someone from a team that deals with the mining industry goes to a team that works with schools. To give an employee different experience, like a secondment from a U.S. office to an Italian office for a year to broaden their, you know, management experience and understanding of another part of the business. government employees working with commercial companies in order to gain commercial experience and bring back new ideas, to provide additional leadership in an area that's struggling, to staff a short-term project which needs specialized skills, such as integrating the department of a newly purchased business into the original business, establishing a local team in a new geographic location.
That's exactly what new store, that would be what you were doing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Procurement specialist that's seconded to HR in a supplier management role to closely manage relationships, right? The value for money, et cetera. To allow an employee to test out a role, an IT specialist maybe temporarily assigned as an IT project manager to oversee a project, an IT specialist temporarily assigned to a sales team. You know, potentially they're working with clients that also have their expertise. And so that would be helpful in that. Someone who would otherwise be laid off could be assigned in a role in another area to cover a maternity leave or long-term leave of a manager to try out their management skills, to provide a liaison between one department and another, or one location and another. Or maybe someone from headquarters goes to a satellite office or more in the field role, or vice versa, to give staff in a department which has little to no work a busier role rather than eliminating those roles or laying them off, to give support staff operational experience or vice versa, move someone from procurement to a team where what they're purchasing is actually being used, right, would be a really interesting one.
So all of those examples came from my Facebook friends. I put out a thing, hey, who's got some examples for me? So they're all real examples of reasons why people were moved and examples of how people were moved. And again, this is it's a very common thing. In the bigger the company, the more common it is just to move people around on a temporary basis. There's usually a whole bunch of HR stuff involved if it's a bigger company, things like who's going to pay your wages and who you actually working for, and if you go and work with a contractor or a supplier or a client, then there's usually contracts around, you know, that specify, yes, you actually still work for this company and they're going to pay you and they're going to do your retirement and all that stuff. So the bigger the company, the more likely there is to be admin around it. But usually it's if the company wants it to happen, they'll make it happen.
Yeah, typically in my experience, it's who's going to write your review, right? Mm-hmm. Who's going to, if you're working for one manager for 6 months and another manager for 6 months, how's that process going to work?
So the first part, if you've been offered one of these roles and you've taken it and you're off to your new place, usually or often it's a different location. Even if you're in one huge building, you know, I worked for IBM in the UK and the building is a mile long. So I could go in one door and never see the people who were at the other end of the building. So if I was seconded to the other end of the building, I'd never see my original team. So one of the most important things is to stay in touch with your team, the team that you normally work with. Because you have to always assume that you will be going back to your day job, even if you're moving in order to get better skills or to experience with different customers or to test out your skills, those kind of reasons that are about growth. And hopefully, if the placement is successful, you changing your role, you still have to assume that you will have to go back to your old team. Sometimes that's because it doesn't work out. Sometimes it's because that the position isn't available when your short-term thing ends. Sometimes it's because they just change their mind and decide that that's not a good route for you. So you always have to assume that you're going back. And even in a small company, working on a particular project can disconnect you from the team that you normally work with. You know, even if a team is only two or three people in a company of 10, if you're working day to day with those two or three people, it's really easy to lose touch with the other two or three people that you used to work with.
Absolutely. And the other thing I think about this part specifically is, if you don't keep in touch with your team, you're going to hear about it, right? Your team's going to say, oh, you're working over there.
Oh,
you're big time
now.
Forgot about us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Let's avoid that.
Yes.
Right? Those passive aggressive comments.
Yeah, that's for sure. And in a bigger company, you know, it might, like I said, put you in the other end of a huge building and you never see your team. It might put you in a war room that's away from the rest of your team. It might put you in a different building or a different location altogether. So it really is easy to lose touch.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, any of the reasons for a temporary assignment, like we've talked about, I mean, they effectively give you a new job, right? I mean, as we know, anytime you take on a new job, it's oftentimes all consuming initially, between the different rhythms of work and learning. You know, you're learning everything that you have to do, what you're now responsible, you know, you're building the relationships and trying to, you know, hit the ground running as every manager says they want you to do. You're working at 110% for the first few weeks, and it would be easy and understandable and reasonable for you to move maintaining relationships with your home team, so to speak, so far down your priority list that it doesn't happen. And what we're saying is that this is a mistake. It's a trap. Don't fall into it.
And one reason is that short-term projects can range from the prestigious to the punishment. That although we gave a bunch of positive reasons for short-term projects earlier, they can also be, you know, you're the worst performing person in this team and we're going to move you over here because we know you won't like it and that will encourage you to leave. That happens too in places where they're not willing to give you feedback. So if you lose touch with your team, there's a risk that they confer that reputation onto you. So if you're moved to a badly performing team and you don't keep in touch with the people who know you're a good guy, they will start to think, oh, well, he's over there with the bad people. I don't think I want to work with him anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and the less well we know someone, the more we assign traits to them based on group dynamics. So, you know, if I say I don't know any Germans and Germans are punctual, if I meet a German, I'm going to assume they're punctual because I know nothing else about that person. I'm just going to assign that trait. And in your case, if you're moved to another project, they're going to assign and you lose touch, you lose that close relationship you have with the people in your current team, they're going to start to assign the traits of that project. And if it's a project that's not going well, then you start to get that reputation.
Yeah. And you might think that that won't happen because of, you know, you have a great relationship with your team. You communicate regularly with them on a regular basis. And so you can afford to have a gap. But remember, relationships are built and maintained on communication frequency and communication quality. And the moment that we stop communicating or reduce that frequency, that is the moment that the relationship begins to decay. This is why our college roommates are our best friends for 4 years. And then 10 years later, we never talk, right? The relationship's never the same after that because you've talked so regularly, so frequently, with great quality, and then it devolves.
Yeah, and we all think that we can go back to that relationship and it'll be just the same. There's very few relationships where you can pick up where you left off. Very few.
Right.
And they're not usually work relationships because you just don't have that relationship. It is common that temporary assignments become permanent. So, you know, a temporary assignment to test out your skills becomes permanent. A temporary assignment to a client, you know, they offer you a job and you go and work over there. But you can't assume that that will be the case in your situation. You have to assume that you're going back to that team and you're going to have to make those relationships all over again. So make time to stay in touch. Go to social events and celebrations and make time to have lunch with your team. So if it's someone's birthday and they're all going to the bar after dinner, if they're going to the bar after work, go and have at least one drink. Not an alcoholic drink if you don't want to, but at least go and say happy birthday to whoever's birthday it is and be seen and just renew those relationships. It will be worth the effort when you slide back into the team as if you never left.
Yeah. And I love the note about using lunch. I mean, you've got to eat, right? Everyone's got to eat. So utilize that as an opportunity to also be social and maintain relationships. And make sure to stay in touch with the constellation around your team. If you think of the people that you have a relationship with in your current job, there's that direct team, but there's also a loose association with people in other teams, people who are points of contact that your team regularly works with, people who sit near you, service providers, could be vendors, right? I mean, there are lots of other people that it's important to maintain those relationships with. The relationships with those people are also important to you in your effectiveness, and even more likely to be neglected if you're on a short-term project, because you think of them as kind of ancillary or satellite folks, right?
Yeah. I don't need to talk to Jim in procurement every day because I'm on this other project. And then when you go back and do your job and Jim isn't doing you any favors, it's because you lost touch.
Folks, if you're listening and you're not a licensee, you're missing out. Now, look, the podcasts are going to be free. They're always going to be free. Mike and I started Manager Tools to help you have the tools you needed that we didn't have essentially nearly 40 years ago. As young professionals, we didn't have people we could turn to for answers for these kinds of tactical things that explained interviewing and promotions and how managers do what they do and so on. But we've got to fund the company, and we have a bunch of great people here, and we continue to expand our reach with the podcast. We're over 250 million downloads. And the way we do that in part is sell licenses to our work. And the license is a pretty good deal. For $200, you get access to all of our show notes. The moment you sign up, you get access to every single one of the show notes of every cast we've ever put out in Manager Tools and Career Tools. What is that 1,200 podcast? You also get access to executive tools, both the audio and the show notes. You also get access to our interviewing series, which is probably our most popular product at $150. So you get a $150 product within a $200 product for free. And we did that because of the pandemic and because people are worried about their careers and working from home and so on. It's simply too good a deal to turn down. And I'm told, I have to tell you, that if you become a licensee, you also get access to me. You can send me emails and I'll actually answer them. So we'd appreciate it if you become a licensee. It will help us spread the word. Our goal is to make every manager in the world effective. And it takes a big village of people to make that happen. Please do so.
So the second part of stay in touch is stay in touch with your boss. Your boss, whether you like it or not, is your connection to the organization as a whole. We tell our managers that to their directs, they are the organization. Everything you get from the organization, the company, good or bad, comes through your boss. And there's no good reason not to continue that relationship, and a whole bunch of negatives if you do not keep that relationship going.
Absolutely. An example of this would be your boss is going to have a big influence on your annual review, even if you're working for someone else, like we talked about, right? There could be that they split the review, but if nothing else, your boss is going to have the biggest hand in your review, which is important to know. And in most companies, it's your review that drives compensation, opportunities, and all the other good things that come with, high performing, or at least a good review. It's the thinking through and taking action on this kind of, result of a move that can mean some people are successful and some people are not. And you could call that, Machiavellian or, strategic or whatever, but it's just plain smart. It's the kind of thinking that is what those people about whom you wonder, how do they do that? That's what they're doing. And the majority of folks are not.
They're thinking through, okay, I'm going to get a review. Who's going to write it? Who do I need to have a good relationship with? And then they're doing something about that. And the majority of people just don't think about that in that way at the beginning until 3 weeks before they review. And then they think, oh, no, this isn't good.
Yeah. I mean, imagine you're on a project for 8 months and you've worked really hard to build a relationship with, I don't want to say your new boss, but kind of your new boss, right? Mm-hmm. The person that you're reporting to in this secondment. And then you find out 3 weeks before you ask the question, who's writing my review, by the way, because it's coming up. And your new boss says, oh, your old boss is writing it. And you say, well, do you have any hand in it? No, I don't. It's all them. And you go, I wish I would have maybe kept in better touch or, made sure they were, I kept that relationship warm.
Yeah, wish I'd have talked to them more than 9 months ago. So if you're on a 3, 6, 9, sometimes even a 12-month secondment or project, your boss will write a proportion of your annual review. And the timing isn't the determiner, really. It's not, oh, it's 3 months, then this will happen. It's 6 months, then this will happen. It's really the influence of your boss that determines how much of it is that it's their view that gets into your review. So imagine that you're seconded to a project with an IT project manager, but you work for finance and your home boss is the finance manager. In a lot of organizations, project managers manage projects, not people. So in a company that considers itself a finance company, not an IT company, the finance manager who manages finances and people would have way more influence than a project manager, even though their titles make it sound like they're the same.
Right.
You know, when it comes to the review, the project manager would have some input, but it would be the finance manager that typed it up and submitted it and actually delivered it to you. And so if your secondment is 9 months, the tone and the tenor and the content of your review is being written by someone who only worked with you for 3 months, 9 months ago. And you better have been working on that relationship. Otherwise, you know, when it comes to teamwork, how are they going to grade you on teamwork? Or if it says contribution, how are they going to grade you on that? They're going to grade you on the 3 months they remember plus comparison with their current team. And that isn't good for you.
Right, because they have more data on their current team.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You might think that the relationship you want to be working hardest on is the boss of your new team. Perhaps you want to move over there permanently. Why wouldn't you want to impress her? Of course, that relationship is incredibly important. And your current boss has to agree to release you in order for you to move. So if you think that internal moves are determined by interviews alone, you're mistaken. A great interview and a boss who makes it, or a boss who wants to make it difficult for you to move, that means you're going to stay put, right? So you want your boss to support you. And the way that they're going to support you is by having a great relationship with them, even when you're assigned somewhere else.
So the next part of project success is build relationships fast. So career success, even in the short term sense, is built on results and relationships. And we said this over and over again. I'm gonna put a challenge out. Find a CT cast that doesn't have results and relationships in it. But you can't get results in the first few weeks of a project. You know, the beginning of any project is about decisions and plans, not actually getting things done. And so you're not gonna have any success because you're not doing anything. And most of us don't spend enough time in the planning phase and want to move too fast to the getting things done phase, even the high C's who love to plan. You know, if you don't believe us, then we have a podcast that says the manager tools 1/3 rule that says 1/3 of a project should be spent on planning. Like, when was the last time anybody spent 1/3 of the length of a project on planning? Never. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever did. Maybe if it was a 6-day project, I might spend 2 days. But if it was a 3-month project, there's no way I'm spending a month.
No.
And whether you spend that long or not, there are no results in the beginning of a project. There can't be. And you could consider the project plan a result, but that gets so torn up over time that it's barely, you know, recognizable by you. You can't say, hey, I contributed to this part of the project plan and therefore I'm great. Because they're going to say, yeah, but that part didn't exist by the time we've finished the project.
Right.
All you have in the initial days or weeks is relationships. So work on them. Pay attention to people.
Yeah, great questions to ask yourself as you're interacting with these new folks is, what DISC profile are they, right?
Nice, obvious one.
Yeah, clearly that's going to help dictate how you should tailor your communication to them. When do they like to start or finish work, right? Potentially, you could be working on things with people across different time zones. Some people have, you know, kids that they have to drop off in the morning, so they get to the office a little later or get to their desk a little later. Or conversely, they've got to pick the kids up, and so they've got to leave a little earlier.
So when you're booking meetings with them, you want to know that. Because
absolutely,
you don't want to book a 7 a.m. meeting with someone who has to drop their kids off or someone who's not a morning person. And if you do that, it's not a big deal relationship-wise, but it's a pinch. It's a like, oh, you know, I can make it work, but I don't want to.
Right.
Whereas if you are cognizant of it and you work around their limitations, that's a relationship builder. So why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. All things being equal, which they never are. But if Wendy schedules a meeting for 7 a.m. and I schedule a meeting for 8:30 and Wendy's meeting causes them to have a little bit of a pinch, they've got to, you know, shuffle their personal life around a little bit to make that happen. They don't for mine. And just one small little thing, you know, that doesn't cause conflict in the relationship, especially in the early stages when it's very important. The next one is, I love this one. It's simple. It's how do they take their coffee, right? Do they take cream? Do they take sugar? Do they have a special drink that they like at Starbucks or one of the ubiquitous coffee shops around your location? I mean, that's important because there could be a time where you're running, you know, out and you are going to pass that place. You're going to get coffee for yourself anyways. And, you know, you grab them something as a kind of nice little gesture, right? Very, very goes a long way for relationships in the beginning.
If someone's stressed out and there's a bit because they have a deadline or a piece of work that they need to do right now and they can't stop, but you can't help them, going and getting them a drink is like, it's amazing. It's 100 points on the relationship scale. And it's so easy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This has nothing to do with, it's not a professional relationship, but years ago, probably 12 years ago, I went to my barber and I had an early morning meeting or something and I needed a haircut. And he offered to come in and open the shop early just to cut my hair. And I brought him Starbucks and I knew what he liked from, I don't know, a few months back, having seen the cup on the counter. And it just, I don't know why it registered for me. But I brought him exactly what he liked. It was a white chocolate mocha stirred. I don't know why I remembered that. But I brought him that and we have been like best friends ever since.
Yeah.
Because
for a
that meant
coffee,
so much.
Coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just such a touching thing for him. And I just did it as a show of appreciation that he was, you know, helping me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
So I kind of alluded to this, but the next question is, do they have a family, right? Do they have kids? Do they have a spouse? Are they newlyweds? Are they, you know, all of that, that family dynamic is really important. It weighs on everyone at work. It plays a role in how we work. And so it's good to know that background. What's important to them is another question to think through as you're getting to know these new folks is what's important to them? Why are they on this project? What's what are they looking to get from it? What are their objectives? Yeah, what's most important to them? Why are they on the project? What are they trying to get from it? But also going back to DISC, how do they like to communicate, right? How do they prefer to communicate? Are they listeners or are they readers? Do they think top down or do they think bottom up, right? Everyone has an approach depending on their experience and their role of whether or not they start kind of this grassroots, you know, mindset, or they start, well, we've got to, you know, start at the top and filter things down. This is a good one. Does silence mean that they're thinking or does it mean that they're mad? That's a great one.
It's a really good question and so important.
Absolutely.
If somebody is silent and they're thinking and you break that silence, that's irritating every time you do it. If silence means they're mad, then that gives you an opportunity to say, I just said something wrong. I am really sorry. I don't know where this is going, but like, let's stop and have a moment, you know?
Yeah.
But you don't want to do that if the opposite is true.
Absolutely. And the last question would be, what are their special skills, right? What do they bring to the table that's unique or special? And thinking in terms of both hard skills and soft skills.
My brother can find you someone to do a job anywhere. He's got mates rates for any job. Like,
really?
It's amazing. Yeah, you need a plumber, you need a guy to change tire, anything. You need a guy, my brother has a guy. And people who have a guy really like it when you ask them, hey, have you got a guy? People who love spreadsheets and are really good at them love it when you say, can you fix my spreadsheet, please? So you get the best person to do something in a team. And not only do you get a better output, you also make them happy because they're using their skill. The more you pay attention to people, the more you can tailor your communication with them, which means you can build the relationship more quickly and the more easily you can work with them. And if you're memory challenged like me, or you're a high D or a high C who doesn't care about people as much as getting things done, it is okay to take a notebook and write those things down about the people you work with, or if you're a high C, put it in your database. Don't write commentary. Don't write, I really don't like that tie, or he's really grumpy in the mornings. Just write something bland in case it's red. You don't have to, don't leave it out on your desk. Try not to do that. But right. It is okay to write things down as facts about people.
Objective
to help you
facts.
To remember them.
Yeah. And any project, there will be rocky parts, right? Whether the project is for 3 weeks or 3 years, there will be hours and days that are difficult because any group of people trying to work together will struggle at times, whether it's internal issues like tiredness or external ones like the server being down. The team will struggle. It's the relationships that get you through those parts. It's your relationship with Jill that means she'll forgive you when you snap after 10 hours of trying to solve a single problem. It's your relationship with James that means when he says you're useless at that, you know he's making a joke and not condemning you. It's your relationship with Betty that means when she screams, she's frustrated at herself and not at you. Relationships matter.
And it's knowing those things that gets you through.
Exactly.
And last up, give and take everything you can from the experience. So short-term projects, secondments can be really great opportunities. And the nature of them being short-term means they go past really fast. Even a year goes by in a flash. So don't get that opportunity and then look back and say, I wasted it. You have the opportunity to build new relationships, to use new skills, to really contribute to another team. And when you're contributing more fully to the company and the organization serving of the company, and at the same time, you're enhancing your career. So it's a win-win all around. But take time at the beginning to plan what you want to get out of the experience so that you use it well. So, you know, if you could be on a 3-month project or even a 6-month project and have in the back of your mind, okay, in this team, I'm going to be working closely with the other team in London. I want to get to know those people. And if you don't write that down and look at it regularly, you'll get to the end of 3 months and think, I could have done better at that. I could have been on that call that I didn't need to be on where all the London people were. Or I could have said I would do that task that would have given me more contact. So think about it first and you'll get more out of it.
Absolutely. And don't forget to track metrics on this project so that you can add those as accomplishments on your resume. Oh, so many people come to us and they ask for, you know, resume assistance, reviewing their resume. And when we ask, okay, so here's this thing on your resume, how well did you do this thing? They can't answer because they didn't decide on a metric, they didn't track it, and didn't record it at the end of the project. Don't be that guy, right? I mean, go into it looking at this project with the idea of, okay, in 6 months, when this project is over, I want to be able to put 4 or 5 bullets on my resume. And maybe that's too many, maybe 2 or 3, depending on the project. But I want to be able to say, I accomplished this, right? And then figure out, okay, how do I track that along the way?
And it's okay to be imperfect, but imperfect is better than not doing it at all.
Exactly.
And I would say 5, 6, 7, however many accomplishments you can come up with, because your career management document contains all of your accomplishments and your resume is a subset of those. The more you have on your career management document, the better your resume will be. It also helps you with that review thing that we were talking about.
Exactly.
Short-term projects can make a career. They can be the turning point or an inflection point in a career. We've seen it happen, but they can be a waste or worse, a negative. It's active planning and thought that makes the difference. And now you know what to do. It's time to seize the opportunity. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more guidance. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.